Born and Raised, Chapter 10, Paragraph 4 today. It's October 29th, 2023, and the time is 20:29 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you again. I love you. In the Apocalypse of St. John, that's the name of a book, The Apocalypse of St. John, 1921. We don't know what page this was taken from, but Mr. Barry wrote, Nero has ever been considered one of the principal antichrists. The Apostle John, at 1 John 2:18 and 2 John 7, writes to those in his care of deceivers he calls quote-unquote antichrists. He's warning his brothers, those who, for whom he cares, about these antichrists. He states in both of these verses that there were many deceivers or antichrists already at the time he wrote. The quote, man of lawlessness, unquote, of 2 Thessalonians, about whom the Apostle Paul wrote, opposes Jehovah, and so is also an quote-unquote antichrist, because Jesus Christ is with Jehovah. So, if you're against Jehovah, you're against Christ. The quote, man of lawlessness, unquote, though, stems from apostasy, meaning that he, as a composite, quote-unquote, man, was in the truth. This is how we know that he is Christendom, generally. So Christendom, at one time, learned about the truth, about Christ's resurrection, and they later became apostates from the truth and deviated from the teachings of Christ, even though they at one time had believed in Jesus, perhaps later falling away from a more accurate understanding, or perhaps never really fully understanding the truth about what Jesus taught. But when they first accepted the truth about Jesus, they would have been blessed. They would have received a great blessing in the Holy Spirit being given from Jehovah, and so it was up to them whether they would remain in the truth through all the persecution and the trials and the difficulties that we encounter in the world generally, and always have, as far back as ever since the Garden of Eden and the first sin of Adam, when man was put out of the Garden of Eden, there's been difficulty. There has been problems of many kinds. There have been many problems for those who wanted to observe true worship, such as Abel, who was murdered by his brother Cain. And the sacrifice of Abel was to sacrifice some of the animals of his flock, which was a prefigurement of the Christ and his sacrifice, just as the Mosaic law sacrifices of animals were prefigures, and, you know, in other words, hints. They were hints about the coming Christ, who would be a human sacrifice for all of mankind. The important sacrifice of the Christ, which was so different from the way that people in the world behave when they are so selfish. The worldly people don't suffer willingly, in other words. So Christendom they want to have the Christian belief, but they don't want to suffer for the believing the true teachings of Christ. They don't want to endure any pain, or they're not willing to put up with any difficulties which are, or at some point the difficulties cause them to turn away, or perhaps they're corrupt and they want to gain more power, and they think they can do that by appealing to the masses, and the masses don't want to put up with any pain. So they're apostates, these people, is the idea, and that's what we're talking about. The antichrists are against Christ, right? So they're also, they could be in the guise of Christianity. They could be Christendom, and they're still antichrists. In fact, though, they are the antichrists. That's what that's saying. A king's heart is as streams of water. Proverbs 21. Now, today's scripture, little ones, in the hand of Jehovah. Verse 3 of Proverbs 21 is, to carry on righteousness and judgment is more preferable to Jehovah than sacrifice. Being right in what you do and how you judge is more preferable to Jehovah than sacrificing. Fascinating, because the idea being that sacrifice used to be a way to make up for your sin. You'd offer a sacrifice as a way of atoning for your sin. It's better to not sin in the first place than it is to offer a sacrifice as a recompense. That's what that's saying. Right. So in other words, we might, you know, try and justify our behavior by saying, well, you know, I'm living a sacrificial life, so I can get away with doing a lot of bad things because my life is a sacrifice, as if that's going to please Jehovah. But in fact, it doesn't please Jehovah. That's what's being said and been written in that proverb for us and our benefit, Jeremiah chapter 2 now. And the word of Jehovah proceeded to occur to me, Jeremiah wrote, saying, go, and you must call out in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, this is what Jehovah has said. I will remember on your part the loving kindness of your youth, the love during your being engaged to marry, your walking after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown with seed. Israel was something holy to Jehovah, the first yield to him. Any persons devouring him would make themselves guilty. Calamity itself would come upon them, was the utterance of Jehovah. Hear the word of Jehovah, Jeremiah continues, O house of Jacob, and all you families of the house of Israel. This is what Jehovah has said. What have your fathers found in me that was unjust, so that they have become far off from me, and they kept walking after the vain idol and becoming vain themselves? Vain meaning pointless. And they have not said, where is Jehovah, the one bringing us up out of the land of Egypt, the one walking us through the wilderness, through a land of desert, plain, and pit, through a land of no water and of deep shadow, through a land through which no man passed and in which no earthling man dwelt? And I gradually brought you to a land of the orchard to eat its fruitage and its good things. But you came in and defiled my land and my own inheritance. You made something detestable. Jeremiah writes, or his scribe writes, Baruch, the priests themselves did not say, where is Jehovah? Jeremiah continues, and the very ones handling the law did not know me, And the shepherds themselves transgressed against me, and even the prophets prophesied by Baal. And after those who could bring no benefit, they walked. Therefore, I shall contend further with you people, is the utterance of Jehovah, and with the sons of your sons I shall contend. But pass over to the coastlands of the Kittim and see. Yes, send even to Kedar, and give your special consideration, and see whether anything like this has happened. Has a nation exchanged gods, even for those that are not gods? But my own people have exchanged my glory for what can bring no benefit. Stare in amazement, O you heavens, at this, and bristle up in very great horror, is the utterance of Jehovah, because there are two bad things that my people have done. They have left even me the source of living water in order to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot contain the water. Is Israel a servant or a slave born in the household? Why is it that he has come to be for plunder? Against him, maned young lions roar. They have given out their voice, and they went making his land an object of astonishment. His own cities have been set afire so that there is no inhabitant. Even the sons of Noph and Tophanes themselves kept feeding on you at the crown of the head. Is not this what you proceeded to do to yourself by your leaving Jehovah your God during the time of his walking you in the way? And now what concern should you have for the way of Egypt in order to drink the waters of Shihor? And what concern should you have for the way of Assyria in order to drink the waters of the river? Your badness should correct you, and your own acts of unfaithfulness should reprove you. Know then and see that your leaving Jehovah your God is something bad and bitter, and no dread of me has resulted to you, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah of armies. For long ago I broke your yoke to pieces. I tore your bands apart, but you said, I'm not going to serve. And for upon every high hill and under every luxuriant tree, you were lying sprawled out, prostituting yourselves. And as for me, I had planted you as a choice red vine, all of it a true seed. So how have you been changed toward me into the degenerate shoots of a foreign vine? But though you should do the washing with alkali and take to yourself large quantities of lye, your error would certainly be a stain before me, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. How can you say, I have not defiled myself? After the Baals, I have not walked. See your way in the valley. Take note of what you have done. A swift young she-camel, aimlessly running to and fro in her ways. A zebra accustomed to the wilderness at the craving of her soul, snuffing up the wind at her time for copulation. Who can turn her back? All those who are looking for her will not go tiring themselves out. In her months they will find her. Hold your foot back from becoming barefoot and your throat from thirst. But you proceeded to say, it is hopeless. No, but I have fallen in love with strangers, and after them I'm going to walk. As with the shame of a thief when he is found out, so those of the house of Israel have felt shame, they, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. They are saying to a tree, you are my father. And to a stone, you yourself brought me to birth. But to me they have turned the back of the neck and not the face. And in the time of their calamity they will say, do rise up and save us. But where are your gods that you have made for yourself? Let them rise up, if they can save you in the time of your calamity. For as the number of your cities, your gods have become, O Judah. Why do you people keep contending against me? Why have you transgressed, all of you, against me, is the utterance of Jehovah. To no effect I have struck your sons. No discipline did they take. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a lion that is causing ruin. O generation, see for yourselves the word of Jehovah. Have I become a mere wilderness to Israel, or a land of intense darkness? Why is it that these my people have said, we have roamed, we shall come to you no more? Can a virgin forget her ornaments, a bride her breastbands? And yet my own people, they have forgotten me days without number. Why do you, O woman, improve your way in order to look for love? Therefore it has also been in bad things that you have been taught, that you have taught your ways. Also in your skirts there have been found the blood marks of the souls of the innocent poor ones. Not in the act of breaking in have I found them, but they are upon all these. But you say, I have remained innocent. Surely his anger has turned back from me. Here I am entering into controversy with you on account of your saying, I have not sinned. Why do you treat as very insignificant the changing of your way? Of Egypt, too, you will become ashamed, just as you became ashamed of Assyria. For this cause also you will go forth with your hands upon your head, because Jehovah has rejected the objects of your confidence, and you will have no success with them. So, that's the end of Jeremiah chapter 2. And in verse 13, we see, in verse 11 particularly, it starts, has a nation, any other nation, have any nations exchanged gods for those that are not gods? Do nations trade their gods for things that are not gods? It just doesn't typically ever happen. It doesn't happen, period. But yet Jehovah's people traded their true God for the idol gods of other nations. And they started to perform acts of false worship and carry on ceremonies or conduct these rituals of false worship, and they built false gods for themselves. They made idol gods for themselves, which is like leaving the source of living water and making broken cisterns that cannot hold any water, as if that could be better than the source of living water. So this is a very serious thing that Jehovah's people did in leaving true worship. And the broken cisterns scripture is verse 13. That's such a well-known scripture that it would be fairly common to hear that in Christendom or in some part of true Christianity also. The broken cisterns that cannot contain the water. Even the sons of Noph. This is talking about Egypt. Noph and Tophanes, it sounds like Egypt to me. That's a place in Egypt. Memphis, it says, yeah, right. Well, Memphis is an Egyptian city. And that's in the footnote. Memphis is the footnote in the Septuagint and the Vulgate. It says Memphis instead of Noph. It says in the footnote there. And Tophanes has more than one spelling in the margin of the Masoretic text. But these are, you know, they were concerned with Assyria. At one time. And also Egypt. In verse 18, it mentions that. You know, what the cross-reference might be. Well, later on, it's coming later, though. This is the time of Jeremiah. But wait a minute. No, it's not. It's earlier. This is earlier. Ahaz. That's right. I was thinking it's later, but no. Jeremiah lived at the time of Josiah. About 609 was when Josiah was killed. But Ahaz lived before Hezekiah. And his year one was 741 in the genealogy. It's the father of Hezekiah. 16 years before 725, which is year one of Hezekiah. So this is 100 years earlier, roughly, than Josiah and the time of Jeremiah. So, and at that time, Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant. See, so they did appeal to Assyria for help at that earlier time. That's what Jeremiah is referring to there. Now, the Egyptian verse 18. It's referred to in Isaiah and Ezekiel. Isaiah 31:1, if you want to look that up, and also Ezekiel 16:26. But we don't have a clear reference to that prior appeal to Egypt. So let me think, what's happening in the time of... Of course, Jeremiah lived in the time of... After Egypt had already... That's right, the Egyptian pharaoh was the one who killed Josiah at some point. So, but this might be before that happened, actually. In the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, it's hard to say whether... It doesn't appear yet that Josiah has been killed by Necho. Since... Jeremiah began prophesying in year 13 of Josiah, and Josiah ruled from 639 until 608, about 31 years. In the genealogy, that's the time period that we have, B.C., 639 to 608 officially, but 609 when he was killed by the pharaoh, Necho. Is the date we have for that in the genealogy, in Jehovah's chronology, as best as we can determine it. Now, remember we did Timothy and then we started Hebrews. We're doing Hebrews chapter 2 now. So, whoever wrote this is continuing. That is why it is necessary for us to pay more than the usual attention to the things heard by us, that we may never drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved to be firm, and every transgression and disobedient act received a retribution in harmony with justice, how shall we escape if we have neglected a salvation of such greatness, in that it began to be spoken through our Lord, and was verified for us by those who heard him, while God joined in bearing witness with signs as well as portents, and various powerful works, and with distributions of Holy Spirit according to his will. For it is not to angels that he has subjected the inhabited earth to come about which we are speaking. But a certain witness has given proof somewhere, saying, "What is man that you keep him in mind, or the son of man that you take care of him?" That's Psalm 8 and 4. And also Psalm 144 and 3. Verse 7, "You made him a little lower than angels. With glory and honor you crowned him and appointed him over the works of your hands. All things you subjected under his feet. For in that he subjected all things to him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Now, though, we do not yet see all things in subjection to him, but we behold Jesus, who has been made a little lower than angels, crowned with glory and honor for having suffered death, that he by God's undeserved kindness might taste death for every man. For it was fitting for the one for whose sake all things are, and through whom all things are, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the chief agent of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who is sanctifying and those who are being sanctified all stem from one. And for this cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. As he says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers. In the middle of the congregation I will praise you with song.' And again, 'I will have my trust in him.' And again, 'Look, I and the young children whom Jehovah gave me.' Therefore, since the, quote, young children, unquote, are sharers of blood and flesh, he also similarly partook of the same things, that through his death he might bring to nothing the one having the means to cause death, that is, the devil, and that he might emancipate all those who for fear of death were subject to slavery all through their lives. For he is really not assisting angels at all, but he is assisting Abraham's seed. Consequently, he was obliged to become like his brothers in all respects, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, in order to offer propitiatory sacrifice for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered when being put to the test, he is able to come to the aid of those who are being put to the test. That's the end of Hebrews chapter 2. So, the idea that God made man, one particular man, Jesus, a little lower than the angels, when he was in human form, that is, and he subjected the entire inhabited earth to Jesus, and at the time that Paul wrote, all things were not yet subjected to the power of Jesus, but it was about a future time he was writing when all things would be subjected, and there was a prophecy about that, that he made him a little lower than angels, right? With glory and honor, you crowned him. Psalm 8 and 5. And you make him, in verse 6, dominate over the works of your hands, everything you have put under his feet. So, God, like humans, in verse 5, right? Humans are God-like, a little less than the angels. God appointed them over the domestic animals and over the earth to tend the products of the earth, the produce, and to be in charge. God put man as the custodian of the whole earth, and Jesus, of course, is the perfect example of a human, and he was intended to do even more, but he was intended to become the king of all things and be appointed by Jehovah as king, which was prophesied, right? That through this prophecy that he would be over all things, in other words, dominate over all things, not just over the things of the earth. And so Jesus is just like other humans, in many respects. He has even called them brothers, and he suffered the same things, including death, that other humans suffer. And he's not ashamed of the fact that he was a brother to these other humans on the earth. And then Paul quotes, or whoever writes this, Paul evidently, quotes from Psalm 22 and 22, I will declare your name to my brothers. So these things are prophetic and intended to be thought of as prophetic of the Messiah. All the scriptures are believed to be prophetic of the Messiah, at least to us believers, to anyone who believes in the scriptures. It's the natural interpretation to think of them as pertaining to the Messiah. And to the extent that we can imitate Jesus, they pertain to us also. I will hope in him, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, is the reference, I will have my trust in him. Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 2. But Jesus was the substitution for all mankind in dying, so that he would pay for all the sins of the people, of all humans. And because he suffered, of course, in the fact that he was executed and tortured before he was executed by crucifixion, he suffered in many ways, including he had to suffer all the different things that humans suffer prior to his execution also. He suffered everything. And so, because he suffered, he's also able to be compassionate towards other humans, to other people, other faithful ones who are being put to the test and suffering. He can help us be faithful. This is what we're talking about, what we're reading about here in Hebrews chapter 2, and that's all for today's scriptural study. Little ones, I hope you enjoyed it. We have only about a minute or so, a little bit more than a minute. There's so many things that could be talked about. We're expecting a little bit of snow coming up pretty soon, I think. But whether it will stay on the ground or not, sometimes it goes as late as December 25th before we get any snow, and sometimes we have a green time period, even past December 25th. It's called Green Christmas, some people call it, those people who celebrate Christmas. And we know the Watchtower Society at one time did celebrate Christmas before they eventually figured out that that was not a Christian celebration. So, but this idea, it's not very common in this part of the world where I live, that December 25th would be green without snow, but it does happen sometimes. But right now we're in the October 29th, 2023, but October 29th is not too late. November could be snow easily, so could October, but you know, it might also melt away, and there are lots of things to do still outside, to bring tools inside or to finish working in the garden, and those sorts of things in the fall make it a busy time of year, just like the springtime is busy also for getting started again in the summer activities and tending the garden in the summertime. That's it for today. October 29th, 2023, 2103 hours, Eastern Daylight Time, Ward Green with you. I love you, and Crow and Cassie are saying bye for now.